You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. Today's episode of Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. The promo code LO Pistons, that's LO as in Locked On Pistons, LO Pistons, will get you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. The Pistons finally, after all the speculation, appear to be ready to announce their move downtown. I think it's going to be in time for the start of next season, but we should get some more details tomorrow. The Detroit Free Press, Vince Ellis, is reporting that the Pistons are going to announce it officially tomorrow. Almost certainly, uncoincidentally, the Downtown Developmental Authority is calling a special meeting for tomorrow, and it's at Castech. The Pistons have a news conference scheduled at Castech half an hour after that. I think this is just all going to solidify everything. We'll get some more information. The main thing I want to know, is there going to be more public money being funneled into this arena as the result of the Pistons coming downtown? This has already been tremendously expensive for the city of Detroit, a city that has problems with its schools, a city that has problems with crime, a city that really should direct its public resources into a better spot than helping out these billionaires, the Illiches, Tom Gores. At least the Illiches for sure stand to make a ton of money from this. We'll see what the Pistons' deal is, what type of rent the Pistons are paying, who that rent money goes to, whether it's the city, whether it's to the Illiches, how that all breaks down. This could be a good thing for the city. I'm pretty ambivalent over whether it's a good thing for the Pistons. Like many people, I enjoy the idea of the Pistons playing downtown rather than in Auburn Hills. For me personally, it's more convenient. But it's also a sports team in a city where there's a lot of other things going on, and it's just not that big a deal, I don't think. The Pistons rank among the NBA's best in attendance when they're good. They're around the bottom when they're bad, and it's been that simple for a long time, even when they're at the Palace. Maybe they feel like they can tap into a different market down here, and if they can, more power to them, as long as it's being privately funded, privately handled. I have some doubts about that. Hopefully we'll get more information about that tomorrow. But first, we're going to get more information tonight about the team. The Pistons host the Rockets after a couple tough losses over the weekend, getting blown out by the Cavaliers, losing in the final seconds to the Celtics. Not an encouraging time right now. The Rockets are going to be another stiff test. They play fast, though maybe not quite as fast as you would expect for a Mike D'Antoni team. But they score great. They're so efficient. They shoot a ton of three-pointers, more frequently than any team in NBA history. They're on pace for it. It all starts with James Harden. He's their point guard now. It's a little bit of a change in name and designation. He always handled the ball a lot anyway. But the key change for this, and one I think it's been very good for the Rockets, is it just gets him the ball in his hands to start the possession if he's bringing it up. They don't waste time on the shot clock trying to get him the ball. He doesn't have to waste energy trying to spring himself to get the ball. So it just makes everything flow a little better for them, which is going to be tough for the Pistons to handle. Harden really scores, assists, the turnover. Any way a play ends with a free throw, it's almost always Harden. His usage rate and assist rate, the combination is incredibly, incredibly high. He's on the court a lot for them too. I think KCP is going to primarily have the task of guarding him, which gets a little easier just for the Pistons, because if they're cross-matching, technically, with Harden at point guard, the Rockets are starting Patrick Beverley now at shooting guard, a smaller spot-up shooter who's not as adept as a scorer, is not as adept with the ball in his hands with the previous starter, which was Eric Gordon. So I think Patrick Beverley is a much easier place to hide Ish Smith. The problem with that is Patrick Beverley is a way better defender than Eric Gordon, and so the Rockets will have an advantage on that end, but it does make it simpler to guard James Harden. Not necessarily easier, but simpler. The question is going to be, what does the Pistons lineup look like beyond that? And maybe there'll even be a change to the starting lineup. But let's start with what we've seen so far. on Friday against the Cavs, Darren Hilliard entered the rotation. On Saturday, Reggie Bullock was in the rotation and Stanley Johnson was out. Stan Van Gundy really just seems like he's trying to get something going. And it's not terribly surprising that Stanley Johnson was the odd man out, except for the fact that the Pistons have invested a lot in him. He was their first round pick last year, number 8 pick. They want him to be good. They want to give him an opportunity to succeed. I think this just speaks to how bad he's been this year. He has struggled offensively and defensively. He has not found a rhythm. Not really sure what's going on there, but he has taken a step back, and that's a real disappointment. And sitting him on the bench is not going to get him right over the long term. We'll see when he gets back into the rotation. One thing I thought was interesting was Stan Van Gundy said, like, he still plans to play Stanley Johnson as the backup small forward. He just didn't play against the Celtics on Saturday because Marcus Morris and Tobias were playing so well. They could handle all the minutes at small forward between the two of them. And I think that's going to happen a decent amount. Those two are overall having good seasons. And so there might not be a lot of minutes. So it seems like Stanley Johnson was right where Bullock and Hilliard sort of were, but maybe even further out of the rotation at the moment, which is, yeah, on some nights, there's going to be a 10-man rotation where the backup small forward plays. Some nights. Some nights, it's going to be just 9 men. And Stanley Johnson, it seems like right now, is the odd man out. It'll be interesting to see whether it's Hilliard or Bullock getting those minutes. Van Gundy's gone a little back and forth. Bullock is probably a better shooter, maybe a better defender, definitely has the potential to be, although we haven't seen anything really from him over a long enough stretch in his NBA career. Hilliard, on the other hand, is better as sort of a secondary playmaker, and that's something the Pistons could definitely use. A lot of struggles right now from the point guard position. We covered this on Friday, digging just into how bad Ish Smith and Beno Udrih have been. The Pistons desperately need Reggie Jackson back. The report from practice today, this is from Keith Langlois of Pistons.com, was positive. Reggie Jackson seems to feel good, like he's on the right track. Hopefully he comes back soon. The Pistons need him very much and very quickly. And if you need tickets very quickly, SeatGeek has you covered. The NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons, L-O Pistons. I want to go back to the end of the Celtics game because I think there was something, a couple things going on there that are pretty telling for big and medium picture things. So the Pistons were down 3 and they took out Andre Drummond with about 30 seconds left, put in Aaron Baines because they had a play they wanted to run to get a 3-pointer. They thought Baines would be able to help run it better, even though he wasn't a central part of the play. And it worked. Pistons got a 3-pointer, tied the game, but the Celtics didn't call a timeout on the other end. So the Pistons had to leave Baines in to defend. Boston got 2 offensive rebounds. Last one led to an Al Horford putback, and the Pistons lost by 2. So here are my 2 takeaways from this. Number 1, and I've been saying this since his rookie year, Andre Drummond has some really big positives and really big negatives, and people make a mistake when they dwell on the flaws. He is a very good player. The positives far outweigh the negatives, and to dwell on the flaws is a mistake. And yeah, maybe you have a slightly better chance of executing that play with Aaron Baines. But I don't think it's good enough to have Drummond off the floor. Because what if you miss Drummond's ability to get an offensive rebound? Drummond's ability to defend if the Celtics don't call a timeout. And I'm a big fan of not calling a timeout in those situations. I think allowing the defense to set is usually more of an advantage. You should often really push the ball up court and see what's there first, at least. And so, I think, and Sam Van Gundy admitted this. He admitted he second-guessed himself over whether to have Drummond in there or not. And Drummond also said, like, he could tell that Sam Van Gundy might have regretted that a little bit. And so, yeah, I think this was a case of Stan Van Gundy underestimating Andre Drummond, of not appreciating what he brings and focusing on the flaw. Now, it's easy to say that in hindsight, and maybe this case specifically, I am using hindsight a little bit. But in the general sense, I do think that's a problem with a lot of people who watch Drummond. They focus too much on the negatives because those are so obvious. He doesn't have much shooting touch. Before this year, he didn't have much dribbling touch. And then there are the free throws, of course. Play literally stops so we can watch him do what his worst skill is. You don't notice the small things in the quickness of play. His ability to get position for rebounds for dunks is excellent. Such an underrated skill. Like, people bag on him for only dunking. Well, if you can create that many dunks, that is a skill. If you can get in position for that many dunks, that is a great skill, and it's very important. And the way he can get in position for defensive rebounds was very important against the Celtics. Here's the other thing, the other big takeaway from this. The Pistons' rebounding this year has been very disappointing. It's been a big drop, and it's not really Andre Drummond's fault. It's basically everybody else just a little bit. Like, I don't know if there's anybody I'd single out and say, yeah, I cannot believe how that guy is rebounding this year. I expected so much more. But almost everybody, I can say, well, they're not quite rebounding as much as I would have liked, as much as I would have thought. And so you have him off the court. The Celtics get these key rebounds, and the Celtics are a bad rebounding team. That's one of their biggest flaws. And yeah, the Pistons out-rebounded them overall for the game, but not by enough. That should have been an area the Pistons had more dominance in, allow them to have shortcomings elsewhere. They didn't. So there are a couple things going on there. Hopefully the Pistons get those fixed up. They'll need to in time for the Rockets. This is going to be a challenging game. This will be an interesting game. The Rockets are so good offensively. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch them. If you like basketball, it's going to be fun. They are a great experiment in how to play, for better or worse. And so we'll learn something more about the Pistons tonight in a challenge that I think is unlike any that they've gotten so far this season. Maybe not the hardest challenge. They've played the Clippers, who are playing the best in the league right now. But a different challenge, because Houston is such a unique team. We'll be back to talk about that game tomorrow and everything else going on with the Pistons. We'll have more from their press conference about, I believe it's going to be about, a move to the new arena downtown and everything else. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.